Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour two of a numbers game coming at you. I'm Joe Serrallo. He's Kelly Bidlin. Fun first hour here on a Thursday morning. More fun to be had. We're going to dive into it all. NFL future team odds for some wide receivers. Going to talk college hoops with our friend John Henson from the Field of 68, former NBA player, former star at the University of North Carolina. God knows UNC could use him right now, Kelly.
Yes, they surely could, yes.
And hopefully we get the right John this time.
Yeah, that's right.
I wasn't going to let that one slide.
Three Johns, 3 days in a row. Yep, absolutely.
Follow him on Twitter, at Kelly Bidlin. Make sure you interact with myself, at the Joe Serrallo. Best tweets will get read on air. Worst tweets, well, if they're funny, they might get read too. If they're not, they might just get blocked. But that's how we roll here on a numbers game. Kelly teased some NFL wide receivers who might be looking for a new home. We talked about Matthew Stafford earlier in the week here on the show. How about his teammate, the guy who he won a Super Bowl with in their own building a couple of years ago, Cooper Kupp? I would say if Stafford's maybe 50-50 to land on a new team, Cooper Kupp is a damn near guarantee to be out of Los Angeles. The team has already come out and said that they're looking to part ways. Kelly, where could you see Cooper Kupp going and making sense as a fit?
Man, I think there's a lot of teams out there that could use a wide receiver like him. I know the Steelers are one of the short shots. Again, we talked about them yesterday.
They always are in this market.
Rodgers. Yeah, it feels like they are always in this market when it does come to wide receivers. I think he is absolutely a guy that needs to be looked at, though, from the Steelers side. And there's multiple teams. I think, you know, I think the Cowboys could make sense. A guy, I mean, they've got a lot of problems, but you're going to need to pair another wide receiver next to CeeDee Lamb. So I think there's someone that needs to be considered.
You have odds on that?
Yeah, there should be. Yep, absolutely.
Because I'm not seeing them as one of the short shots on this list. So that's a really interesting, if you're looking for a value play there, because right now I'm looking at, what are these, like the 12 shortest odds?
Yeah.
And Dallas would have to be longer than 16 to 1. That could be intriguing.
50 to 1.
Wow.
I mean, we brought this up yesterday with Rodgers, right? Where it's
look down the list a little
bit. Yeah, I mean, I just think that I think Aaron Rodgers is easier to do that with than other teams. But yeah, we can throw this up quick. I mean, there's a lot of questions here. Of we thought, you know, Steelers, is that really a good culture fit? Is that actually like realistic? I don't think it is.
I hate to be chalky though. When I look at this, to me, there's one answer. To me, it's the Raiders.
I see. I'm with you. I'm with you on that one, Joe. But then the other eight teams that we have on this graphic, like, I mean, I could poke holes in every single one of them.
So no, like you said yesterday, I don't see him wanting to go to Tennessee. I don't see him. I certainly don't see Aaron Rodgers at this juncture, at this point in his career, wanting to go to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Rams, interesting, but I don't know if Sean McVay, I'm sure McVay is looking at Rodgers going, oh, I could tweak a few things. I could fix a few things. If we get rid of Stafford, we will win games with Rodgers. Frankly, I think McVay would win games with Jimmy Garoppolo, who's his current backup on the roster. Like, I think it's more of a McVay thing than a Rodgers thing at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you. So I think, like, he's a better example. We're going to talk to Debo Samuel and Cooper Kupp here mainly for next team odds. But, like, Rodgers, I think, is a great example of there's probably value further down the board with these wide receivers. We kind of know what teams are wide receiver needy. The only problem is there's so many that are free agents right now. And then we're talking about a couple that would need to be traded in Kupp and Debo.
Well, how about we talk about a team that we've been talking about for the last 2.5 weeks? And they might be a little strapped in terms of cap space, but, you know, the salary cap in the NFL is a myth, so that can always be maneuvered. Mm-hmm. Kansas City, plus 650, Cooper Kupp. Can I sell you on that, Kelly? I mean, D-Hop retiring, Hollywood Brown and Juju, free agents. Obviously, they've got the youth there with Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice when he comes back. Don't you want a vet with sure thing hands to go with those two youngsters?
I think we talked about this a bit the other day, but Bill, I'll loop the Bills in for this conversation too.
As you should, as I was going to as well, yeah.
I think both of them should be interested in both of these wide receivers we're going to talk about, Debo Samuel and Cooper Kupp. I think it makes a lot of sense, especially Cooper Kupp, I think, for both these teams, right? However, I think we've seen now over the past couple years, with the letting Tyreek Hill go, letting Diggs go in Buffalo, and these teams still finding success, they'll be interested, but there's probably going to be other teams that are far more interested and willing to pay more than what they're willing to pay. So I think because of that reason, Joe, just because how we've seen them handle wide receivers the past couple of years, I wouldn't be running to bet on those teams to go after these guys.
And for that reason, Sharks, I'm out.
Yeah,
not in on the Chiefs getting Cooper Kupp. Yeah, I mean, look, Kansas City, I think, has definitely shown us. They haven't just shown us that they're willing to run any receiver out there. They've shown us that they can win with Kadarius bleeping Tony out there, who, by the way, I think just got arrested.
I don't know if you saw that report. Yes, he did.
But, I mean, you know, the Chiefs run out of Kadarius Tony, a Marquez Valdez-Scantling, a Mecole Hardman. You know, they have all these guys play Super Bowl hero, these guys who on other teams couldn't get a lick going. And so that might take them out of the Cooper Kupp sweepstakes. But like you said, for the right price, like DeAndre Hopkins, they got him for the right price this season.
Exactly.
Now, Hopkins really didn't do a whole lot while he was there. You know who shocked me in terms of not doing a whole lot? The highest profile receiver on the Bills, Amari Cooper, had that big first game when he didn't even know the playbook. And you know, they said that that touchdown he scored in his Bills debut was complete improv. And Josh Allen was just like, hey, get open in that corner of the end zone. And they got Cooper a touchdown. I don't think he had a touchdown the rest of his time with the Bills, right? He was a complete non-factor with Buffalo. And he's the highest profile guy there. So you could say it's twofold. You could say on one hand, well, it's because he's drawing the most attention. Or you could say the chemistry just wasn't there. But I think Buffalo and Kansas City have shown us that you give Josh Allen, you give Patrick Mahomes any group of wideouts, they're going to have success. What you have to do is really shore things up in the trenches.
I mean, I think those were perfect examples with D-Hop and then Amari Cooper. I mean, shoot, I almost even kind of forgot about Amari Cooper.
Like, right?
And so it doesn't even that backs up. Okay, if they didn't go, yes, Xavier Worthy, Kansas City grabbed in the draft. I understand that. Other than that, we didn't really see either of these teams go aggressively after wide receivers when we all felt like they needed to. They win games. They pick up veteran guys for cheap during the season that didn't really do anything, so they still probably feel like they overpaid just because they paid anything. They feel like they overpaid for these guys. I just think when it comes to Cooper Kupp and Deebo Samuel, I don't think those two teams are all that realistic. Just to run through these Cooper Kupp odds: Broncos short shot +450, Steelers +500, Commanders +550. I think that's an interesting one. Yeah. Patriots +600, Chiefs +650, Lions +750. Everybody else 10-1 or longer. And I think the Commanders, Patriots, maybe even Steelers are a good example of like that is.
I don't like the Patriot fit.
Yeah, I don't love it either. But
just because Cooper Kupp probably wants to go somewhere that's more win now, and
agreed.
The Pats could be a year away. Now that they've got Vrabel and they've got the right pieces, they could be a win 2026 team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a wild card, a playoff team. But I don't see it this year. I think the Commanders, to your point. And from an organizational standpoint, Washington has shown us that they're not scared by age. Who are their biggest free agent signings coming into the season? Zach Ertz, Austin Eckler, Bobby Wagner. I mean, people laughed at the Commanders for signing guys that everyone said, oh, they're over the hill, their career's on the decline, and they get to the NFC Championship game. On the backs of those, I mean, Ertz had 100 yards in the NFC Championship game, right? Bobby Wagner was sensational. Austin Eckler gave them tremendous options in the run game and in the short pass screen game. So I think Washington is certainly not going to be afraid of Kupp if they weren't afraid of those guys.
And I think the bigger example, okay, cap space with Washington too, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is what I'm talking about when we talk about the Chiefs Bills. It just are even as much interest as they might have. A team like the Commanders is probably going to have far more interest, right? Just from adding to their team for what they could do to help elevate the offense. But add to the team, and then they've got the money to make these kind of moves way more than the Kansas City and Buffalo do. I think another one, so this is Aaron Rodgers. I think there's a lot of teams you can just kind of cross off. For me, I would kind of cross off Chiefs, Bills. I'm not saying it can't happen, but for me, it's more of a longer shot than what the odds are telling you, at least. And then there's teams like, okay, like the Chargers, like that makes a lot of sense to me too. Like they need wide receiver help there.
Kupp and McConkey, they're going to start looking like South Dakota State out there.
That's right. Like I think that one's interesting. But like, I think there are some teams down the board as you go and look like that there could be some value with where you can at least eliminate. In my mind, I can at least eliminate a few of these teams off the top of the board.
Yeah, I mean, look, and also when you're looking at football as opposed to, you know, this isn't like the Mets and Yankees making a deal, right? You got the Rams and Chargers. Sure, they share a building, but there's not really a rivalry there. In fact, you know, I think Charger fans might be a myth. I've never met one, and I've lived in Los Angeles for 3 years. So Cup wouldn't have to relocate. He'd get to stay where he is. It could be intriguing if they're willing to make a deal. How about Deebo Samuel? Because one thing I will disagree with you when it comes to Kelly is that you can cross the Chiefs and Bills off. I think you can cross Kansas City off, but a Swiss Army knife like Deebo in Buffalo, that was actually the first team that caught my attention. Aside from the obvious, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, they've been rumored to be in on Deebo in the past. They were rumored to be in on Ayuk last summer. The Steelers are always rumored to be in, and then they never seem to go out and get the guy. Deebo to Pittsburgh plus 550 would make a world of sense. Will Pittsburgh pull the trigger? I mean, they had an opportunity in the past on Deebo and on Ayuk, and they didn't do it either time. But I think Buffalo 12-1, longer shot than Cup to the Bills. That Swiss Army knife type of a style working with Josh Allen would be terrifying.
Yeah, I think that one's interesting. It's always the, you got to be careful though with taking the ball out of Josh Allen's hands, right? That's where the Swiss Army knife thing I think gets interesting from that standpoint of how many plays you're going to design specifically for him, especially if there's short yardage stuff that requires less out of Josh Allen. I'm with you though. I think for both of those teams, just because we've seen, like, Chiefs already have Xavier Worthy, so I think maybe that doesn't apply as much there. But yeah, I think as opposed to Cooper Kupp, yes, I would think the Bills would be more interested in a Deebo because of that.
I mean, it would make them dangerous. James Cook, I mean, you look at the way that they use their running backs. They've got three running backs that they get involved in both the run and the pass game.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. I do think what's interesting with both these guys, though, Joe, it's easy for us to pick teams that we think make sense and everything. We don't know how they feel about their careers, though, right now. Like, they may not feel like they're on the last legs of their careers. You know, especially for Deebo, who knows?
Deebo's young. Cooper Kupp more so.
Yeah, he might think he's got 5 years, and maybe a team like the Patriots is more in play. Who knows?
Drake made a Cooper Kupp. That would be something to see. We'll look at the NFL draft and some odds to go number one up next, plus a little golf with the Genesis Invitational. It's a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN fans, it is time to plan your Las Vegas getaway. Circa Las Vegas owner Derek Stevens is offering you 15% off at his three incredible properties, Circa Las Vegas, the D Hotel, and the Golden Gate. Whether you're lounging by Circa's stunning rooftop pool, enjoying the games at Stadium Swim, or enjoying the excitement that downtown Las Vegas has to offer, you'll save big with promo code VSiN15. Book your stay now at CircaLasVegas.com and use that code VSiN15 to get your 15% off. Your Vegas adventure starts here. As a numbers game continues with myself, Joe Cirillo, alongside Kelly Bidlin, breaking down some potential new team markets for these NFL receivers that might be on the move. Cooper Kupp seems like a slam dunk to be on the move. Deebo Samuel, a little more interesting because the short shot in the market for Deebo's next team, Kelly, is his current team, the 49ers, plus 250. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, a short shot. We talked about this a little bit last week with Myles Garrett and the Browns still being the short shot. It's because they have to be traded, but man, I think when you get guys like this that, I mean, Myles Garrett's, I guess, another story because I think he's out. His statement alone was like, you know, try to keep me here. Like, I'll sit out no matter how long I want. That's how I took
it. You don't
want to
mess with that guy.
Right, yeah. Joe,
that's looks like a transformer.
Right, exactly. So that's how I took Myles Garrett. Deebo might not be the same boat, but I just think financially, you know, like the Brandon Ayuk trade almost occurred, right? What was that, a year ago, 2 years ago with the Patriots?
That was this year.
Yeah. Okay. So now we back it up, and we're just talking about salary and what they've got on the books already. I think this just might have to be a little bit of a cost cutting move to get Deebo out of here. And I don't know if we're looking at the same Deebo Samuel as a player as we saw a couple years ago.
No, Deebo, I think, definitely took a step back this year. And, you know, I could think of one game in particular, that Thursday night game. It was the first game of the season to not have a touchdown scored, Niners-Rams late in the year Thursday night. And Deebo had so many opportunities to shine in that game. It was right after he came out and said, I want the ball more often, you know, that he was frustrated and made those comments public in what I thought was a totally inappropriate fashion. Then he gets some big opportunities, including one on a quick slant in the red zone that could have easily been the lone touchdown of the game. All you got to do is catch the ball. And with his speed, you're in the end zone. And he just dropped it, just completely muffed it. And that happened, I believe, on one other occasion in that game, too, where Purdy put it where it needed to go. And it was just a flat-out drop by Debo in a big spot. And what was a big game at the time for the Niners trying to salvage their season, which the Rams pretty much put to bed in that one.
Yeah, I do think just overall, almost all these next team odds that we've looked at are fascinating. Cooper Kupp's maybe the most up in the air and the least I would have any interest in betting. But I think, like, Rodgers, we can cross teams off the list. Right. Like, Myles Garrett and Debo, I understand it's the NFL. It's tougher to make these trades happen in a day. We're talking about guys that do have to be traded. I think that they're more likely gone than staying, and the odds would tell you otherwise. And I think they're off because of that. So that'd be, if I'm right, that just means there's value on every other one of these teams that are available out there.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, we've seen this play out with Debo once before, and I know that the salary cap situation was slightly different. Now Brock Purdy is wanting his payday. By the way, do you think the Niners are going to pay Purdy?
Yeah.
Cause I think Shanahan could throw me out there under center and get similar results.
I mean,
come on. Is Brock Purdy really that special? Because I feel like I've got egg on my face. Last August, I was filling in on a live bet Saturday, and we did our top 10 quarterback rankings. And I threw Purdy in there at 10 out of respect for going to a championship game in a Super Bowl back-to-back years. And right now, I feel like I've got egg on my face for having Purdy at 10 and excluding Jalen Hurts from my top 10. I feel like a fool for that. Can we accept that Brock Purdy maybe just be, you know, Shanahan's guy, and that Shanahan can plug and play, and people say, oh, Purdy can pick apart a zone defense, so can Will Levis. Will Levis was about 67% completion against zone defense. If you're an NFL quarterback, you can pick apart a zone defense. I got news for you. So I don't want to hear about Purdy against zone defense. I really just don't think he's that good.
All right, I'm going to say something that you're probably going to find out crazy. I think I'm higher on Brock Purdy this year than I was a year ago. And that is because I had to watch Brock Purdy play this past season with a lot of these guys injured, not all the weapons around him that we were used to. Because I think a year ago, I couldn't refute anything you just said, right? That the Niners are so stacked from a talent standpoint surrounding the quarterback that it's really hard to judge how good that quarterback is, right? I think what I saw to Brock Purdy this year, I got a good old gunslinger over there in San Francisco. It's just finally they let him open up a little bit. And you said,
are we talking about a BB gun?
Oh, him trying to put, at least him trying to make some plays down the field. He was asked and tried to do that way more than what we've seen in the past with him. And I love that in a quarterback. Sorry, Joe. I'm loving it in a quarterback that's willing to try to push the ball downfield to make some things happen. And finally, this was the first year that we even saw the Niners need him to do that, right? Because of what you talked about.
Tommy DeVito tried to make things happen. He didn't. I want a guy who makes things happen.
Yeah, there's a big difference between those two. Come on.
You know what? You give Tommy DeVito to Kyle Shanahan, maybe he could work something with him.
Okay.
I think it's a Kyle Shanahan thing. No, everyone thought Sam Darnold was dead. I could argue that Sam Darnold, the reason he had such a successful season for Minnesota is because he had a year on the bench under the tutelage of Kyle Shanahan. That set him up for success when he got to O'Connell and the Vikings.
But if he was so great with Kyle Shanahan, why wasn't he starting in front of Brock Purdy?
Because it was already Purdy's job at that point. But I think Darnold benefited a lot from learning under Shanahan for that year and then got to Minnesota and had immediate success year one with the Vikings.
Well, then there's nothing to worry about with Brock. He'll get him there eventually.
But you can get someone there cheaper, is what I'm saying. If you want to keep your weapons,
I got you.
Could draft a Jackson Dart in the third round, and then boom, Dart could look maybe better than Purdy. I'm not trying to hate on Brock Purdy.
Or maybe they bring back Sam Darnold. Who knows? Maybe he's still available.
That would be, you know, I don't think that would save them a lot. Although if Purdy, he probably wants 50
mil. I don't think it's saving him a
Purdy time. Wants 50 mil?
Yeah.
That's absurd. I mean, Tua was not worth 50 mil. Trevor Lawrence has not shown he's worth 50 mil. I don't think Brock Purdy is worth 50 mil. Kelly, we got some golf bets to get to.
Yeah,
why don't we go country clubbing, baby?
Let's go country clubbing.
Let's do it.
The club's a little quieter today.
Yeah.
A little quieter today in the club. It's cool. All right. Here we go. Genesis Invitational.
We got the picture here. Or was that a one-time thing during the break yesterday?
One-time thing. All right, Genesis Invitational. We have not teed off yet. We tee off in about an hour, I believe, our first tee time. So, first round leader bets I haven't made yet. I actually am going to make a couple for today. I was waiting to see weather's going to be an issue here these first couple days. Was waiting to see this morning weather forecast. Still kind of looks like it's the same. We're going to get a lot of wind here today throughout the first round. More later in the day. I don't know that there's necessarily going to be an advantage, Joe. That's where I was kind of waiting to see if earlier guys, later guys had an advantage, but it's such a small field already that the tee times are condensed. The weather's not so significant one side or the other that I think you can just kind of throw that out the window. I don't think you need to worry about that. So first round leaders, I do think I'm going to bet Ludvig Åberg, Taylor Pendrith, and Gary Woodland. Taylor Pendrith's been a popular name this week in the golf betting world. I didn't have him on my full tournament card, but I think he could be a good stab for first round. And we just saw Ludvig Åberg lead here at Farmers Insurance Open not too long ago. So those are my first round leader bets I'm going to be making. I haven't made them yet. I was waiting to see that weather update this morning. As far as full tournament bets for me, outrights, Colin Morikawa +1650, Ludvig Åberg 28-1, Daniel Berger 90-1, Gary Woodland 120-1. I do think that these are the guys. I think one of these big names is probably going to come out on top. The way Berger and Woodland have been playing, though, recently with their ball striking makes them some longer shot bets for me. I love Morikawa. He putts great on POA. Going back to Torrey Pines, he has played this course very well before. Ludvig, I think we're getting a bit of a price discount on where we saw him at just a couple weeks ago because he's been sick and had to withdraw, had one bad tournament. I think we're getting a bit of a price discount on him in the mid-20s now for an outright price. So I'm on him both for an outright and a top 20 play. Morikawa, I do have in the top 10 market then along with the outright on him. Gary Woodland backing up my outright with a top 20 play on him. Another guy that's pretty popular, Minwoo Lee. Actually, I don't know how popular he was. I bet him last week. I feel like I've heard his name brought up a little bit more this week. This could be a very good course for him, though. He is great off the tee and great around the greens, and that is such a big factor here at Torrey Pines. So I went back to a top 10 price. I was getting 5-1 on him last week. This is a stronger field, not getting the same kind of number on him this week with a smaller field as well at +360, but I still like Minwoo's chances this week. I don't even hate him for a first round leader bet. He's one of those guys, if he just gets hot for one round with the irons and putter, he could easily shoot up the leaderboard. So he would probably be one guy I would consider for first round lead as well. Shane Lowry, top 20 bet for me. Adam Scott, also top 20 bets. Both those guys rated out very highly for me. I did bet Shane Lowry here just a few weeks ago. It didn't work out great, but that was his first start over here in the U.S. Top English player, your favorite market, Joe Cirillo.
Oh, I love it. Is there a top Italian market? I be the top Italian?
Probably not for this tournament. No. Didn't I roll through them all yesterday for you? I don't think I heard Italian.
Continental European?
Yeah, they were. I don't know.
But that excludes Sicilians.
Yeah, I don't know how many Molinari's Sicily ain't continental in this one. Yeah. Well, don't worry.
Discriminatory against my people.
That'll be
what
up for you at some
that?
Point. That'll be up for you at some point. But yeah, I got Tommy Fleetwood here, the top English player market, +125.
I like it. We've gone from top Ford and top Toyota to top English player.
That's right.
Kelly, can I get your advice on this before we get to break here? Rory, top 10. You're laying juice. I know in golf you never want to lay much. -165, shorter field. All I'm hearing is Rory, Rory, Rory. Would you do it?
I am not as high on Rory McIlroy as most players. He was my top-rated golfer this week, though, so I cannot argue against that bet.
All right, -165 if you're willing to lay a little something. College hoops with former UNC stud John Henson up next. It's a numbers game with Kelly Bedlin, Joe Cirillo.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game continues here on VSiN alongside Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Cirillo. We're going to get John Henson for you folks just a little bit later on in the program. So he'll be on joining us shortly to break down all things college hoops. We've got a fun weekend ahead in college basketball. Kelly, a little bit of a lighter slate today, although in terms of volume, good amount of games, just a lot of mid-major action. There's only two ranked games tonight, Memphis, South Florida over in the American Athletic Conference, and then Maryland, Nebraska in the Big Ten. You've got your system play for some people out there who believe in that, with Nebraska being the unranked home favorite against a ranked Maryland. The Terps come in ranked 25th on the season, so some people will take that spot and fire away as an automatic. It's a stay away for me. I'm looking more at the mid-major slates. There's some intriguing games over in the Coastal, formerly the Colonial Athletic Association. Hofstra, William & Mary one that stood out to me, the Tribe of William and Mary laying two at home. They've been really good straight up in conference play. Decent against the number, but when you're dealing with a line that close, only laying two on your home court, then you can pay a little more attention to their straight up record against a Hofstra team that's really struggled on the road this year. Gave out two plays earlier in the Summit League. We'll break those down a little more as the program continues, but I'm all over Nebraska Omaha catching 9.5. They've been otherworldly as an underdog this year. They're at South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits, pretty good team in conference play. One of those perennial teams that always just seems to have success there in the Summit League. A lot of March Madness appearances under their belt. But Omaha this season, you know, they've won 12 of their last 13 straight up. They've covered 9 of their last 12. One of those games in that group of their last 13 was against a D2 school, so there was no line available for that one. But Omaha, after a win, 10-4 against the number, 11-2 on the road, 13-4 against the spread as dogs, and then 9-1 as road dogs. So I love this spot for Omaha. It's a team that's really good at protecting the ball against the Jackrabbits team. It doesn't really cause a lot of havoc, force a lot of turnovers. Also a South Dakota State team that relies on infiltrating the paint. Not really impressive from beyond the arc in terms of volume, especially just averaging 9 made threes per game, and they don't really get to the line a whole lot. 13 made free throws per game, dead last in the Summit League. So I'm all over Omaha catching 9.5 there.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. We'll just roll through our G-Bank best bets, make a little room for John Henson as we get hit. We're working on getting connected with him. So I like yours. You're two in college basketball. One for me tonight in the NBA so far. This is all I've got. Thunder and Timberwolves over 219.5. That is it for me. And then we had Zach Cohen on earlier. As I'm saying this, I'm realizing Phil's are coming up next, and we might need 30 minutes to go through all
Phil
Bobbitt's.
Oh, my goodness. The NASCAR. I counted, by the way, when he was going off, I counted on the screen 16.
All right, that's where we're at.
16 plays
so
for NASCAR.
Zach's a little lighter. A mix of NBA and tennis for Zach Cohen, as usual. Heat money line, he's on tonight. Then a money line parlay for the Kings and Thunder, he's on. And then and Delray Beach, Riley Opelka, by the way, one of my favorite tennis tournaments. Too many times at that tournament, stumbling down to the bars or from the bars out on Atlantic Ave. I love that tournament.
You ever throw a Mick Ultra at someone at Delray? Or do you only do that at Planet Hollywood, Kelly?
Yeah, I've never done that.
That was one of the best tweets I've seen all week.
Riley Opelka, Moneyline versus Brandon Nakashima and Mariana Navone. Sure, I'm going to go with that. Plus 1.5 sets versus Holger Rune. That is it for Zach Cohen. And then Phil Bobbitt with a lot starting tonight in the duels. He has, let's see, Chase, these are his futures. Chase Briscoe over 1.5 wins. Shane Van Gisbergen under 1.5 wins. That is on the season. I think I did.
I'm glad you're doing all the tough names.
I figured I would take it off your plate, Joe. Okay, here we go. That is all of his bets for Daytona 500. Outright winners, Chase Elliott 18-1, William Byron 20-1, Alex Bowman 35-1, Justin Haley. And as he said, not that I'm a big NASCAR guy, but man, I'd never seen this name before. 55-1 on Justin Haley. And then the Front Row Motorsports Group, 13-1. Top 10s on Noah Gragson, that he was pretty high on. He has him as top Ford as well. Plus 240 for the top 10, 16-1 for the top Ford. Zane Smith, plus 325 top 10. Ty Dillon, 3-1 top 10. And then we also have positional. So this is kind of like a finishing position. It's funny that you brought it up, Joe, because a lot of these are comparable to the golf markets, yeah. Right? So like there's a lot of like you can bet, like I'll bet top 20s in golf. There are certain places that will post up a guy over under 32.5. Where is he going to finish in the tournament? That's what he's doing here with Martin Truex. Under
can't do nationalities in NASCAR.
Yeah. I think that one might be a little tougher. And you had a big smile on your face leaning into that one.
You can go by state, maybe. Top Alabaman, top Floridian, top Georgian. I don't think you can go by country or by race, for that matter, in NASCAR.
Well, that's where they get top manufacturer, right?
Yeah,
there
exactly.
You Ford, Chevy, Toyota. There you go.
Toyota, okay. That's the only international thing I'm seeing on that board.
Yeah, that's right. Matchups, he's got Ford over Chevy. I actually liked this breakdown. I think this is what I'm going to tell. We're talking about a race with a lot of crashes. He's simply taking the manufacturer that has more cars in the race I think you said seven.
Yeah, what did
to
he
five?
Say? Five of the top projected seven are Fords.
So it was dumb that I think he said seven Fords in the race and five Chevys. So he's just literally taking the larger number of cars that are in the race. So I think that's a smart bet. Then Byron over Keselowski for a matchup, and then the top manufacturer bets: top Ford, Noah Gregson. We talked about top Chevy, Alex Bowman, and top Toyota, Jay Nemechek. Sure, that sounds like a hockey player, but I'm going to go with that. And then this was an interesting one. We talked about all the crashes. Lap 190 leader to win the race. So the leader after 190 laps. Yes, at 4-1 he liked. So that's a lot of bets from Phil Bobbitt, as usual. Love when he comes on the show and dishes out a bunch of racing bets.
16 of them, to be exact. We'll see how many get home. Well, obviously, I mean, you can't judge him by his record because the outright winner he's got five.
Right, yes.
So you
got to
go by the units and not the record, because if he could go 1-4 there, and if he hits a 55-1 on Justin Haley, it's a pretty damn good it's a pretty damn good year to hit a 55-1. Folks, best bets, of course, brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And GBank is upping the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the same 30 days of your account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now, VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions, of course, apply. One game I don't think we got to on my best bets, really quickly to circle back. We got to it hour one. South Dakota laying 1.5. I might have thrown you for a loop there because I mentioned South Dakota State. But South Dakota, the other school in that state, laying 1.5 against Kansas City. Revenge spot for the Coyotes. They lost to Kansas City by 14 a couple of weeks ago. It's also Kansas City's lone win in their last nine. So this is, as much as it's fun to look at this Kansas City team and their mascot, the Kansas City Kangaroos, is a team that's really been struggling lately. South Dakota's been hot lately. We talked about volume and how South Dakota State doesn't really get there in terms of volume from three, from the free throw line. South Dakota's top 25 in the country in field goal attempts per game. Over 62 shots attempted per game, almost 86 points per game for these Coyotes. So they're at home here. It's a revenge spot. You factor in the home court. If they dictate the pace of play, this is a Kansas City team that likes to take things really slow. They hit the glass. They run a half-court tempo. If South Dakota on their home court dictates the pace of play, they're going to run the ruse out of the gym. There's no way Kansas City can keep up with them in that one.
I like it. So two official bets for you tonight. Anything else that you were kind of leaning towards or you liked that you just didn't make the cut?
It's a big board right now. I mean, I know it's Thursday. I'm already glued to Saturday. I'm looking at, you know, that Saturday slate. As far as tonight, William and Mary was one that really intrigued me. As we look down the list, they're hosting Hofstra, which, you know, it stinks. I hate betting against Hofstra. I grew up going to a ton of Hofstra games. I love Speedy Claxton over there. But right now, William and Mary -2 might make sense in that contest. This Hofstra team's just been really inconsistent, especially on the road this year. Some interesting Sun Belt games, nothing I'm probably going to get to the window on. Also sticking in the Coastal, the former Colonial, Charleston at UNC Wilmington. These are two top dogs in the conference, and UNC Wilmington on their home court's laying 6.5. I've loved to bet on both of these teams. They're both pretty strong bets throughout the season as a whole, but 6.5 might be too many points to be given up to this Charleston Cougars squad. Again, not sure if I'm going to actually get to the counter on that one. I like those two Summit League plays I've got in pocket, but there is something ahead of the Auburn-Alabama game that intrigues the hell out of me, and it's SEC regular season conference champ.
Yes.
Instead of playing the money line, because this game is going to be a near pick'em, number one Auburn, number two Alabama. Right now, these teams both have one loss in conference play. Auburn's -240 to win the SEC regular season crown. Bama's +220. Now, obviously, there's other factors. You got to look at the rest of the schedule, and Bama probably has a slightly more difficult schedule there. But this game is still going to have a lot to do with that. Instead of playing this game, if you lean Bama, +220 to win the SEC.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you could always, you could wait too if you want to see exactly what the lines end up get posted at. But you're right. It's likely you're going to get that situation. You get better bang for your buck that way.
Yeah, we'll talk to our guy John Henson from the Field of 68, former UNC stud, about it on the other side. It's a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirala.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game continues alongside Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serralo, and we're excited to take you folks to our progressive guest line here as we welcome in our friend from the Field of 68, former NBA player and absolute stud at the University of North Carolina, John Henson, joining us now on the progressive guest line. John, thanks so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Good, man. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Now that you're here, man, I'm excited to talk college hoops with you. And, you know, maybe on not the most excited note, we've got to start off talking about your UNC Tar Heels, because you were there during a period of absolute excellence where winning was the expectation. It was the norm. And, you know, it's been a very tumultuous, very up and down last 4 years there. You go from runner-up in Hubert Davis's first season, Sweet 16 a year ago, but now it's looking like years two and probably four might result in this team not making the tournament. So I've got to ask you, how hot is that seat getting for Coach?
I think, you know, it's warm right now. He's probably allowed himself another year because they're going to kind of revamp the front office, quote unquote, get a GM and, you know, try to get with the times. You know, North Carolina is a very old school place. We do things the old school way, and that just is not going to work in this day of college basketball. And they're finding it out very quickly.
Well, they just hired Bill Belichick. Come on, John. They're very forward thinking right now.
Let me tell you, the Bill Belichick hire, you know, internally was done kind of went kind of behind the AD's back a little bit and kind of like, you know, proposition Bill. So it's a lot going on over there.
I mean, I thought it was a progressive hire in terms of his girlfriend, but maybe not so much in terms of Bill.
Well, she'll be able to blend in at the local bar, so I'm sure
she's still going to the Chi Omega parties, John. Come on, you know what that's about.
John, I'm pumped to have you on. I think I know the answer to this question, but you got a big college basketball guy next to me, a big NBA guy here as far as betting goes every single night. Al, are you more often recognized as former North Carolina great or former Milwaukee Buck great? Because that's what I think of when I think John Henson.
I'm recognized a lot more as a North Carolina guy. But if you're a Milwaukee fan, like when I see Milwaukee fans, they like, you know, run up to me. They're like, oh my God. Like, you know, so it's it just depends, but I get North Carolina a lot more, especially like down south. Maybe up north is more of an NBA. You know, that's why I'm an NBA chops.
Makes sense. The South is dominated by college sports. Right now, the SEC dominating college hoops. John, I want to ask you about the upcoming game Saturday, Auburn, Alabama. We don't have a line yet out on the game. I'd have to imagine this one's going to be floating right around a pick 'em. So I'm looking at it from a slightly different angle. To win the SEC regular season title, Auburn is currently a pretty sizable favorite, minus 240 for Auburn in that market. Alabama's plus 220. If this one's going to be about a pick 'em on the game as an individual contest, do you think it would make more sense to take Alabama to win the conference, to win the regular season at plus 220? What are your thoughts on that bet, and what are your thoughts on this upcoming game?
Well, I do like that bet, but if you look at Alabama's schedule, I mean, Auburn is just the start of their problems right now, what's going on. So definitely it's something to look at. And then as far as the game, I got to go Auburn. I mean, I think they're, you know, by and large, the best team along with Duke. And they seem to rise to the occasion. As soon as we kind of see the little doubt in there, they always kind of come through. And if I can get Auburn as a pick 'em, I don't think we're going to have many points with them. I mean, if they do give us points, please, I'm going to hammer them. But if I get Auburn as a pick 'em against Alabama, who's kind of on a win streak, I just can't see Auburn losing 2 out of 3. You know, that I don't think they're that type of team.
John, just looking at the futures board right now, you got Duke 4-1, Auburn plus 425, Alabama plus 850, Houston 10-1, everybody else longer than that. Are there a couple teams that have stuck out to you so far? I mean, NCAA tournament, we all know, is wild when you get there and you just got to win and win in advance. But is there a couple teams further down the board you think could make some noise here once we get into the tournament?
You know, I was super high on Iowa State. All their metrics kind of lend you to believe that they're a top-tier team. Now, they've kind of fell back a little bit, but the numbers say Iowa State is a team to kind of look out for defensively and offensively. And, you know, no one's talking about Texas Tech. They're surging right now. Not going to say they're in the championship tier contenders, but, you know, they made that Final Four run last year kind of out the blue. They've kind of got the same kind of look and feel as that team, Final Four team did.
Yeah, just a really well-coached team also. John, not the biggest slate tonight in terms of ranked matchups. Got two top 25 teams in action. Maryland catching 1.5 at Nebraska. Memphis laying 7.5 at South Florida. I'm in on some mid-major games. I've got two plays in the Summit League. South Dakota minus 1.5 against Kansas City. Omaha catching 9.5 at South Dakota State. You have any action tonight? Any mid-major games? Anything in those two ranked matchups? Anything tonight's board caught your eye?
You know, I'm going to actually go to that South Florida game because it's in Tampa. So I'll get to see those guys play in live. I don't love 8 points on the road anywhere, right, especially a kind of Memphis team that's could walk into that arena and see USF on the jersey and, you know, kind of maybe cruise. But I do like Maryland.
Okay.
You know, obviously a tough place to play. As we know, Nebraska can beat you at their place, but I think Maryland is up for the challenge, and they've got to start stacking some wins, and I think this is an important game to separate themselves in the Big Ten.
And, John, I want to ask you about one team in your conference in the ACC over there, because I wasn't sure if their early season success was going to translate into conference play. Clemson looks good. Yep. And this is a team that's had some tournament success in recent years. They come off the big win against Duke. Everyone's saying Monday night's a letdown spot. I laid the four with them against your Tar Heels. I apologize for doing that. Okay. I mean, the game was over at halftime. Yeah. It was the easiest win of the year. How far can this Clemson team go this year in March?
Well, you know, I have a Clemson game. I'm calling Clemson Florida State this weekend. So I've actually done a deep dive these last few days on Clemson, and they're really good. They got four guys that can shoot over 40%, that shoot 40% or better from the three. They've got two great guards that complement each other, like kind of offensively and defensively, and Hunter and Jaden Zachary. They've got the big fella who's scored 20 the last two games. So Clemson, I mean, they're a really, really good team, and they defend. So they kind of have all that encompassing. I mean, that's why they beat Duke and they beat those teams at home, Kentucky at home as well. So, you know, they're a force to be reckoned with. And then, you know, as far as this weekend, just for people that, you know, may wager on this game, Florida State's really bad at guarding the three. Clemson's really good at shooting the three. Take that for what you would like and go from there.
I love it. We got a Seminole sitting next to me.
Yeah,
right,
you're saying
now.
My nose don't have a shot, John? Come on.
Listen, the problem with Florida State is when you play them once, they played them once, they beat them by 20. Florida State, once you play them, they get you with their size and their length when you play them once. Now that Clemson's played them twice, I think they're going to be ready. Florida State coming off an emotional Wake Forest comeback as well. I don't know about your Seminoles, man. It might be a long Saturday.
Hey, we're turning the calendar over to baseball season. It's a baseball school now, right, John. It just always shifts. You know how that goes. Football, basketball. It just depends how the year's going. You guys know how it is. All right, let's talk a little bit of NBA, John. We've talked a lot about the Western Conference. I went Eastern Conference. You played a long time in the East. The power rank just the top three teams for me, because I've found this an interesting discussion between bettors. I think everybody kind of agrees it's Boston, Cleveland, and New York. One, do you agree with that? And two, what order would you put those three teams in as we're getting closer to the end of the season here and then heading into the playoffs?
I would go Cleveland, Boston, New York. I've kind of been on Cleveland this whole year. Their record shows they're really good. The thing that you kind of only concerns with Cleveland is Boston's kind of got that, you know, we're cruising, we know who we are, we know where we want to be. And so, you know, in the playoffs, they could kind of do what the Warriors did when they won theirs, kind of like, you know, cruise on in, boom. Next thing you know, they're whooping on everybody. They've been there before. They're healthy. So I think it's going to end up being Cleveland or Boston. I think Boston comes out of the East, though. Sorry for my Cavs. Those are my guys over there. I played for a couple of years. But I think Boston's got the experience, and they just keep on trucking, man, and keep on winning.
Now, what about your old Milwaukee squad? Because this is old Milwaukee, not just a beer, too. but your Bucks squad, I mean, I'm one who says never count Giannis Antetokounmpo out. And when he is playing, he's one of the best in the world. You know that as well as anybody. Any confidence that this Bucks team can make some noise?
For sure. When Giannis gets healthy, I think Kuzma, you know, Chris Middleton is one of my best friends. But, you know, Kuzma is an upgrade. I mean, Chris was injured. You know, he was getting older. all that long money he had, you know, he's just chilling, you know. So Kuzma's a guy that's coming in younger, you know, shoots the three at a high clip. He's a bit more of a playmaker as well, off the ball. So I think for what he is, the Bucks got better, and it gives him a chance to go on a stretch run. But they're going to have to see one of the three big dogs in the second round. So that could be tricky.
John, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for the insight.
Appreciate you guys. Yep.
Follow him on Twitter at JohnHenson31. Does terrific work over there at the Field of 68. Folks, that'll do it for a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serallo. The great content at VSiN never ends, though. Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Grace Remington up next.